Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. Today, we're presenting podcast number 86 of Thanks and Thanksgiving. I'm George Taylor. As I record this, it is Wednesday, November 23rd, 2016, the day before the annual celebration of Thanksgiving here in the United States. So where did this holiday come from? Here's a little history.
To most Americans, the Pilgrims of Plymouth, Massachusetts are the iconic inspiration for today's Thanksgiving feast. After the winter of 1620 killed almost half of their people, the colonists formed a relationship with the neighboring Wampanoag tribe, who taught them about fishing, planting, and hunting. By autumn of 1621, the colonists had collected enough food to feed the community through the coming winter. The Wampanoags joined the colonists for a three-day feast in honor of their bounty. The feast probably did not include our modern Thanksgiving staple, turkey. More likely, the colonists and Wampanoags dined on roast goose, along with corn, codfish, and lobster. This 1621 harvest meal is now commonly thought of as the first Thanksgiving. Yet for later generations of colonists, New England days of Thanksgiving had little to do with the 1621 harvest festival. Theirs was a religious holiday, descended from Puritan days of fasting, prayer, and giving thanks to God. Every autumn, the governor of each colony would declare days of Thanksgiving for bountiful harvests, victorious battles, or drought-ending rains. In 1777, the Continental Congress decreed that all 13 of America's colonies celebrate a national day of Thanksgiving that year in celebration of their victory over the British at Saratoga. By the mid-19th century, many states celebrated the holiday. However, the date could vary by weeks or even months. A determined magazine editor named Sarah Josepha Hale set about establishing a national Thanksgiving day. She passionately believed that such a day would help unite a nation headed towards civil war. Hale began a one-woman letter-writing campaign, urging politicians to establish an annual day of Thanksgiving. Her efforts were finally rewarded by Abraham Lincoln, who saw the unifying potential of the holiday. In 1863, 4 months after the victory at Gettysburg, he declared the last Thursday of November to be Thanksgiving Day. By the 20th century, Thanksgiving was a welcome day of leisure from a six-day work week. In the 1920s, the National Football League was formed. In an effort to boost attendance, the fledgling Detroit Lions devised the concept of a Thanksgiving Day game. Parades also became a Turkey Day tradition, and department stores quickly saw their value as a kickoff to the Christmas shopping season. The Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade began in 1924, and year after year, millions of New Yorkers braved the cold to watch the festivities. Most of all, Thanksgiving is about family. With modern life moving faster than ever, Thanksgiving gives us a day to take a collective breath, reconnect with loved ones, and remember just how much we have to be thankful for.
But Thanksgiving goes back even further than the time of the Pilgrims. In the early days of the Jewish nation, the Bible instructs them in Leviticus 17 how to present an offering as a thanksgiving offering to God. King David, when he brought the ark back to Jerusalem, appointed a day for worship and thanksgiving, and his song of thanksgiving is recorded for us in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And as you might expect, King David proclaimed thanks to God throughout the Psalms. And today, that's what I want to focus upon. As we celebrate Thanksgiving with all the traditions which are a part of our individual families, our time together, eating, talking, playing, watching football or not, shopping or not, and more, the question I have for you is this: to whom are you thankful? You know, it's wonderful and right to be thankful and grateful. However, for many people, it may be that their thankfulness is not really an acknowledgement of Jehovah God. I'll be honest, I don't know who else to thank. The Bible tells me that the earth is the Lord's. He has provided it for you and me to live upon. I'm like David, who wrote in Psalm 100, "Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation." I can't think of thanksgiving without acknowledging Jehovah God. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us that thanksgiving should be a part of all of our lives, all of the time. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15, he writes this, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, are you celebrating Jehovah God in your thanksgiving? I know that there's some in my community in Chattanooga who may have a hard time with that this holiday season. If you haven't heard, a school bus accident claimed the lives of 5 children and left 6 more seriously injured Monday afternoon. So finding a way for giving thanks may be difficult for some folks. David had a similar situation several times, and found his expression in Psalm 69. He begins by writing this, "Save me, O God, for the flood waters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold. I am in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me." Later on he writes, "But I keep praying to you, Lord, hoping this time you will show me favor. In your unfailing love, O God, answer my prayer with your sure salvation." And he winds up by writing in closing, "I am suffering and in pain. Rescue me, O God, by your saving power. Then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving. For this will please the Lord more than sacrificing cattle, more than presenting a bull with its horns and hooves." Regina Puckett wrote it this way in a poem that is a part of her collection entitled My Words into the Beyond. The poem is entitled Instead. Take a listen.
Instead, strolling along these serene grassy banks, I bow my head in wondrous grateful thanks for these peaceful still moments of grace from life's hard and rancorous foot race, where hard knocks follow closely on my heels and the devil slides up offering his cunning deals. I realize there are few who care about my pain, but walking here I appreciate this day's gentle rain. It's not that I don't see the mud below the flowers, or know that life is quickly ticking away my hours. I see the vultures circling in the clouds overhead. I just choose to focus on this moment's beauty instead.
That's from Regina Puckett's collection of poetry entitled My Words into the Beyond. You can find that collection on my website. It's at narrationbygeorge.com/books. I pray that in this season you find your reasons to praise God and thank Him for His blessings, which He has shared with all of us. Your comments are always welcome about this podcast. Find and message me on Facebook by searching for Narration by George, or find me on Twitter. I'm at Narration by Geo, or you can communicate by email. I'm George@narrationbygeorge.com. We'll close this podcast with a new rendition of a very old hymn, the Doxology. I'll see you next week. And remember, share God's blessing with someone else.
Sky.